गुड मॉर्निंग
गुड
टीचर।
मॉर्निंग छह
मॉर्निंग चे।
मॉर्निंग। आई जस्ट वांटेड टू बी श्योर दैट आई आर एबल टू प्रोसीड एंड दैट वी हैव द नंबर्स रिक्वायर्ड टू प्रोसीड विद द मीटिंग।
मॉर्निंग छह परसेंट। मॉर्निंग छह परसेंट। वी हैव द नंबर्स रिक्वायर्ड। यू मे प्रोसीड। थैंक यू।
ऑलराइट। थैंक यू। थैंक यू ऑनरेबल मेंबर्स। Greetings to you this morning. Greetings to the minister. I've seen that she's been able to join. People from entities, as well as members of civil society, are able to join our sessions. Fellow South Africans in general, who are following us on different platforms, as this meeting is also streamed live on YouTube. I would be quick in dealing with the formalities, so let's start with the meeting.
Recording in progress.
Honorable members, just a reminder in terms of our rules that We must at all times keep our mics muted. This also applies to all the other participants on the platform. We keep our mics muted and the video camera switched off until you are recognized by the chairperson, who will then indicate that you are recognized and that you can proceed to unmute your mic as well as your video camera. In a situation where experiencing network challenges, you may advise that you would want to switch your video camera off so as to maximize the bandwidth. Honorable members, in cases of of points of order, please ensure that you do respecting the rules, one being that you remain muted until you are recognized by the chair. Only at that time that you'd unmute your mic and raise the point of order you want to raise. As a guide, we also advise not to raise unnecessary point of orders on the platform to a point of collapsing the meeting. Of course, there will be times when people may connect or reconnect after losing a connection. Please ensure at all times as you reconnect to the meeting that your mic is muted and your video camera is off so as not to distract the speaker that may be on the platform at the time, as mics are sensitive and could pick up background sounds which may interfere with the meeting. So if we keep that, we would be able to have a meeting that proceeds smoothly and be able to achieve the objectives set for the meeting. So that is really to just deal with the formalities. But just for purposes of confirming that we are a correcting meeting that's able to proceed with the business of the meeting, may I just check if there are apologies received from the committee support staff so that we place those on record.
Morning, Chairperson. We have apology from Ms. Nsembu, member of our committee. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nsembu would have apologized, and I take it that that apology is accepted. May I check if there are apologies that members may have sent, which the committee may have not taken care of in that regard? If there are no, there's been confirmation that we have the required numbers to proceed with the meeting and would note the apology received from Honorable Tembo. I will then, without the waste of time, Honorable Members, just as a way of opening officially this meeting of the committee, probably the last one in this term, before Parliament rises and members get to constituency work. As I have said previously, our oversight visit would have been affected by the change in the parliamentary program, with two motions that are coming before parliament, which needs all of us to be in parliament. Would still pursue the point of getting this committee to do oversight. Otherwise, almost all that was put forward in the required times have been affected by changes in the parliamentary program and therefore would have been declined. So would continue along those lines. May I also say that honorable members, as we meet today, it's also 2 days before the analog switch off timelines that were presented and agreed upon, and therefore would have needed an update. And whilst we have asked for that update last week, we would have received a response which we said we still need to get back to that point. We're also meeting, of course, at a time when there are other developments in that regard, and in the update that the minister would give to us, would also be taken into confidence on and the developments in that regard, as they would have happened between last week's meeting and today's meeting. So we'd have asked the minister to come before the committee to brief the committee and update us as such, and we'll then have an opportunity to engage with the minister in that regard. As you would see in the notice, we would start with that one, so that after engaging with the minister, we'll be able to release the minister to attend to other matters. We would try and see, depending on how long it takes us in that engagement, but would have planned that by 10:30, would deal with the seminar part of the VETS Link Center, which we spoke about, which was in the program for an earlier date. But if at that time, we would still have time between the conclusion of discussions with the minister and 10:30, if we are able to, we'll just get the adoption of the reports as well as the minutes out of the way, so that the 1 hour for seminar with by the VETS Link Center, we can after that close and get to other meetings that members may have to attend to. So that's going to be the approach. Would start with the minister to give us the update on the PTM, in particular the analog switch off timelines and so on, and developments around that, and how to move from here. Once again, please feel welcomed, including yourself, Minister, and thanks for responding that you are able to be with us this morning. And I take it that at this point, the minister would be ready and therefore would invite her to take podium. Minister, you are recognized, you can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself and to the members of the Portfolio Committee. Chairperson, indeed 24 hours is a long time in any place that there is work. But I want to start not on the BDM update, but this is part of the BDM update. I'd like to start on the events that happened subsequent to my decision to determine the 31st of March as the analog switch off date. On the 7th of March, I received a correspondence from the SABC board that alleged revenue loss, advertising revenue loss due to a loss of viewers. Because we had a case that was going to be heard on the 14th and 15th, and I suspected that the correspondence between me and the SABC may leak, I decided that I will respond but opted to respond after the case was heard. Indeed, the letter that the SABC sent to me on the 7th of March was never leaked because it came to me. But my response on the 24th of March was leaked to the media. Equally, my response to the SABC after they've issued a statement was leaked to the media. And I just wanted to give you the context under which we were operating at the time. And on the letter, when the SABC made allegations, I responded and clarified the SABC on a letter dated the 24th of March, which I have subsequently submitted to Parliament, because I have indicated to the SABC that I will submit to Parliament a request to withdraw quarter one, quarter two, quarter three of the 2021-22 financial year that is ending now, until they determine which set of facts is accurate. On that letter of the 24th, I had indicated that the quarterly and monthly reports that the SABC sent, both performance and financial, that they sent to the Department and National Treasury, and therefore I subsequently sent to Parliament as the executive authority, are providing information that is contradictory to the information they've provided on the letter of the 7th of March. This was my response on the letter of the 27th of March. I articulated the discrepancies, and the SABC opted not to respond to me, but then issue a media statement, which media statement I found unwarranted and unacceptable, because what they did, they now placed on public record information that contradicts the information that I had submitted on behalf of the accounting authority of the SABC to the Parliament, as I'm required to do so by Section 65(1) of the Public Finance Management Act. I therefore wrote to the SABC and said, SABC, you cannot have your cake and eat it. The information that is in the quarterly reports and the information that is in your media statement, which was based on the letter of the 7th of March, they are contradictory to each other, but they cannot be mutually exclusive. I informed them and I gave them time to say, if they do not determine which public record is accurate, I am going to withdraw the quarterly reports from Parliament, because I cannot be party to misleading Parliament. Because the law enjoins me that if discover that information submitted to Parliament was not accurate, I must immediately inform Parliament of such. I then said, requested the SABC to determine which set of facts is correct, the one that's placed on public record or the one that's placed on public through the parliamentary process. Because the PFMA Section 51(c) enjoins the board of the SABC, who are the accounting authority, that on request, they must disclose to the executive authority responsible for that entity all material facts, including those reasonably discoverable, which in any way may influence decisions or actions of the executive authority or that legislature. The basis of that is that when I said to them they must determine, is because we are also funding the SABC's turnaround. But that funding is conditional on the SABC showing improvements in performance. So when the SABC writes to me and also puts it on public record in the media statement and say there has been revenue loss on advertising, and there's revenue loss because of switch off, whereas the facts point differently, we must then determine that therefore there is, or we may be at fault of misleading Parliament. So I wrote to the Speaker to say to the Speaker, I submitted the quarter one, quarter two, quarter three performance reports of the and financial reports of the SABC to Parliament. But I have learned since through other correspondence that with the accounting officer, that the performance and financial information contained in this report may not be accurate due to discrepancies in the amounts reported under revenue information. In summary, the SABC addressed a letter to me on the 7th of March, 2022, wherein it alleged that it experienced viewership loss as a result, it had experienced losses in advertising revenue because of the provincial switch-off. The allegation, however, does not correspond with the financial information submitted for quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three. In terms of the financial, the SABC reported a loss in advertising revenue for quarter one and quarter two, That was before the switch off commenced. In addition, the SABC reported an increase in advertising revenue for quarter three, the period in which the switch off commenced. And I've attached the supporting letters. Furthermore, the SABC alleged that millions of people will be deprived of public television services as a result of premature switch off. The millions that the SABC refers to cannot be further from the truth. This is so because the total registered qualifying households, including those registered after the 31st of October 2021 to date, that government is aware of amounts to less than 1.5 million. And government stands by its commitment to provide set-top boxes to all registered qualifying households, and to this end, registrations remain open. Consequently, I've requested the SABC board and accounting, who are the accounting authority, to determine the set of facts or information that is accurate between that is, which is contained in their letter to me and the subsequent media statement, and which I've attached for Parliament, and also the information that is contained in the quarter one, quarter two, quarter three quarterly reports of 2021-2022 financial year. And until such time that the accounting authority has determined and confirmed which record is accurate between that which is submitted in the quarterly reports of 2021-22 financial year and the information contained in their left, the 2021-22 quarters 1, 2, 3 performance and financial report. And because the part of the information they claimed included quarter 4 of the 2020-21 financial year, which will include the annual report of year 2020-21, which was also considered by Parliament. I opted to take internal legal advice on the extent of the inconsistency of information as it relates to that, and because the annual report is already adopted. But equally, because that information is contained in the information around the turnaround and that supports the continued funding of the SABC turnaround, I informed the SABC that I'm going to notify the Minister of Finance to that of my intention to withhold funding to the SABC's turnaround. The SABC has since requested a meeting with me, which will meet before the end of this week. So because of that, I've withheld writing or notifying the Minister of Finance of my intention to withhold the turnaround fund. But I'd want the SABC to determine which set of records is accurate, because they cannot have two sets of records that contradict each other that are accurate. And if the records that are in the quarterly reports are accurate, I'll equally inform Parliament for my reinstatement of those reports that some of them already been considered by this portfolio committee. If the records that they are accurate are those contained in their letter and their media statement, I will then inform Parliament for my withdrawal of those quarter reports. That will have an impact on the ability of the SABC to submit its annual financial statement, because they will have to redo the records completely. So I needed to bring that to your attention because of the leaks that have taken place, but also because I've formally written to Parliament and its portfolio committee will be charged with considering those matters when the board of the SABC has determined which information is accurate. And Honorable Chairperson, it was important for me to take that step because there is a tendency to adopt bipolar or schizophrenic approaches in government officials and those in the boards of public entities. To chew all out people to account for the information they vote and the consistency of maintaining that information as accurate and relying on one set of facts. Because the judgment has agreed with me. And Chairperson, that's why I said today is we are dealing with what we call, what is it, for a lack of a better word, a continuously improving situation. Yes, we were in court with the ETV, it's supported by ICASA and Vodacom, around the matter of whether I can determine this, the cutoff date of analog switch off. And they were arguing that I did not consult and I should have consulted with on determining that date, and that millions of people are going to be excluded or from watching television, we had argued or to say there is a policy that has been consulted by government. There are regulations that were consulted by government. And these consultations commenced as early as 2006. ETV has been party to the consultation. And in terms of policy, the minister is only required to consult with cabinet to determine the analog cut-off date. And the minister is only required to determine the cut-off date of dual elimination and the analog switch-off based on conditions that are set on ICASA the resolutions that say there must be a coverage of DTT network across the country. And we are determined that there is coverage of DTT network across the country that meets the requirements set by ICASA in terms of their regulation. And we are determined that in terms of a caring government that took a decision that they will connect or assist the poor, and the operating word is assist, they will assist the poor who register on and meet a certain criteria, they will then have the obligation that when that assistance is given, then the analog switch off can be done. There is no policy of government that requires the minister to connect people to set-top boxes. The cabinet, as a part of a caring government, took a decision that says there are poor households that may warrant being assisted to connect to set-top boxes for them to be able to watch television. And secondly, that those households must register before they are entitled to that assistance. To date, 1.5 million households have registered. Before then, we communicated a cabinet decision to extend the registration date and cutoff for assistance to say those who register by the 31st of October 2021 will then be connected before the analog switch off date is done. It is for that reason, Chairperson, when you were trying to look for me the whole of last week and the week before, when you were wanting me to come and brief the portfolio committee, you could not reach me directly because I was out in the provinces to make sure that our people who had applied on time are indeed connected. We had on the 14th of March, during the argument, and which the court recorded as the 15th of March, submitted a report on the connections that still had to be done before before the 31st of March. At that point, we needed to still do 507,000 households to connect, because our commitment for the cutoff date was to connect the 1.2 million South Africans. To date, as I talk to you, we have connected over 900 and distributed over 900,000 set-top boxes to households in South Africa. We are having outstanding 325,000 set-top boxes to be distributed and connected to households in South Africa. So, Chairperson, when we were doing that, because ICASA had to give effect to the analog switch update, ICASA yesterday morning announced that they were going to give effect of the 31st of March analog set off date, switch off and switch on date by one, providing for a transitional period for the broadcasting services and the signal distributors to exit or vacate the 800 and 700 bands and all the analog bands by 30th of June 2022. This date will allow the new spectrum that was licensed to be taken over by those who participated in the auction, which are the telcos and the telecommunications mobile network operators, by the 1st of July 2022, which is the effective date of the new licenses taking effect. So ICASA, we accepted the decision of ICASA for the transitional period, because to allow a seamless transition so that there is no disruption. In the evening last night, we had then received communication from the judge, and the judgment was issued. I received it at 7:45 in the evening when I was briefing cabinet on the matter, or when I was just about to brief cabinet on the matter and our readiness for this, that the judgment is out. And I want to indicate in terms of the judgment, and I want to the members to bear with me in terms of give me some indulgence. That one, the court has deferred my date, or which I have determined as the 31st of March 2022 as the analog switch off date and the switch on date and the end of dual elimination to the 30th of June 2022 as the analog date. The court in its judgment, it explained that it deferred that to allow government to ensure that those who applied on time by the 31st of October, which during the court discussion by the 10th of March were 507,000 households, must be connected before that switch off does, in line with what government had committed. And we accept that, and we appreciate that court has given us a breathing time. We were not sleeping for the last 2 weeks to make sure that we meet that target. At least now, even though we'll maintain the pace and the pressure, we are going to have some time to rest in between, so that because we are human and not robots. And we also note that that date that the court has chosen coincides with the date that the spectrum was going to be vacated by the broadcasters and the signal distributors. And therefore, we appreciate that the decision of the court does not defer the coming into effect of the licenses of the spectrum that was auctioned to the public by ICASA, because they come into effect on the 1st of July, 2022. But also what I want to appreciate is that the court has found ETV to be truant and slapped them with costs, with a cost order. ETV is paying 50% of the cost of the Minister of Communication and Digital Technologies, and also paying 100% of the cost of ICASA, the chairperson of ICASA, and Vodacom, who were party to the case. That is the best signal that the court can ever say send to ETV to indicate that you are wrong and your behavior is not acceptable. We are hoping that ETV will then, because they are known, chairperson and all honorable members, for derailing the analog switch off process. They've derailed this matter previously up to the Constitutional Court, and they even lost then to say you cannot determine that which government has determined. Government has the obligation to meet its international commitment. And we are happy that the court reaffirmed that. Furthermore, I'm happy that this judgment has done the following. One, it has confirmed that the rights are reciprocal, and for every right, there is an obligation. This is a view that I've publicly expressed, that government has a responsibility to assist households that register and fulfill the requirements for government assistance. In this regard, I'm urging all South Africans, and I'm hoping the portfolio committee will join me in urging all South Africans who earn less than 3,500 per month to register for assistance at their nearest post office or online through www.stbregistration.gov.za, because the registration for support has not closed and it continues. Two, the government, the court has affirmed the government's responsibility to assist households still watching TV analog through analog transmitters is limited to those households that meet the government set criteria and register for such assistance. In addition, government has clearly articulated this criteria for those who qualify for government support. Also, the court has affirmed that it would be unreasonable to allow a situation where an unknown variable, that is the unregistered household, is allowed to hold up a process that will eventually be of benefit to all citizens, and where government must meet its international obligations. And to avoid the missing middle household, I'm calling on the Safe Free to Air TV Coalition to redirect its energies towards mobilizing the qualifying households to register for government assistance. And also, the court has affirmed that government has done enough within its powers to help the qualifying households to realize their right to freedom of expression, including freedom to receive information. And the court has also acknowledged that it is near impossible for government to establish who else qualifies for a set-top box without the affected households registering. Excuse me. As not all indigent households own an analog TV, and not all households that own an analog TV are indigent. And also that the ETV's disagreement with the process followed and preference for a process that serves its commercial interest does not require further consultation opportunities. ETV cannot dispute its inclusion in several satisfactory consultations over many years regarding the process of digital migration. And also the court has reaffirmed that the formulation of policy is an executive competency, and the duty to consult will only arise in circumstances where it will be irrational to take a decision without further input from industry. And also the court has affirmed that there is nothing that prevents the minister from determining and announcing the switch off date as 31 March 2022. As I've indicated earlier, the sole reason the court deferred the date to 30 June was to allow me to complete the connection of those households that had applied by the 31st of October 2021. It is in the interest of the country and the economy and South Africans in general that digital migration be finalized. And we remain committed to ensure that the 507,251 households that registered by the 31st of October 2021 are connected by no later than 30 June 2022, which is a date the court had deferred analog switch off to. In addition, the department will ensure that the 216,868 households that registered between the 31st of October 2021 and the 10th of March 2022 are connected to their set-top boxes by later than the 30th of September 2022, as ordered by the court. And Chairperson, this remains our commitment. And those who apply later, we will then connect them as and when they come through. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, that's the update from the Minister. Starting with the quarterly reports as it relates to SABC, as well as the update which includes the judgment as far as the switch off date for analog. I will now take those that want to contribute, ask questions of clarity, or make comments on what the minister would have shared with us. Tajira will also assist me with hands if I do not get to see any at this point.
I'll do that, Chair.
Honorable members, may I invite you to make your comments? I see Honorable Dr. Basobsen is up. You are recognized. You can proceed, and Tajira will assist me in identifying other hands that may have
come. Mr. Malatsi, Chairperson. Mr. Malatsi.
Honorable Malatsi. Honorable Bodlani, I see. We'll proceed in that order, and then I'll identify.
Ms. Kubeka, Chair. Ms. Kubeka.
Honorable Kubeka would be after Honorable Bodlani. So we'll take Honorable Dr. Basso, you can proceed, followed by Honorable Malatsi, Honorable Bodlani, and Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable members, Honorable Minister, as well as the officials that are part of the meeting. Good morning, everybody. In appreciating the report, Chairperson, I mean the update, let's thank the minister for the update, though it's giving us a bad picture in terms of the update as far as the issue of SABC board is concerned. Then I've got only three questions that I want to raise, Chair. Chairperson and honorable members, firstly, I just want to check from us as what are the implications of the withdrawal of the report. The report that was scrutinized and we interacted and as well as we adopted as a committee on behalf of that house. And all of a sudden now, because of the reasons that have been put forward by the minister, honorable minister, what are the implications of that in terms of our roles? That's one question. Number two, obviously, Chairperson, as an oversight body, we are expected to take a decision about this. Then what I just want to check, whether are we in a position to have an access to the correspondences between the minister and the board. I'm raising this chair because at the end of the day, we are expected as a committee to take an informed decision. And for us to do that, we must have enough information in front of us, chairperson. Then the third one is about the leakage of the information. Perhaps what for me, this is not the right thing, first and foremost, to leak an information. It's wrong. But I just want to check that what action has been taken by the office of the minister to address that. And again, my interest here is SABC board part of this meeting. Because really, Chair, for me, the picture that is given to us is not the right one. And at the end of the day, we are expected to take a decision, I mean, to address this problem that is put forward to us as a committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Paso. Honorable Malatsi, you can proceed.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to that detailed brief from the Minister. Look, I think for just appropriate handling of the matter with regards to the SABC, Chair, I think for the committee's side, we need to have engagement with the SABC in order to, as Honorable Basoku said, us to be able to take the informed decision by also being fair to the process by you know, hearing the other side. Because it is very conspicuous from the minister's presentations and you know, her side that there are very unhealthy tensions between the SABC and the minister. And it's playing itself out in this way, where it is even affecting the process of parliamentary accountability, more so as evidenced by you know the alert that the minister has said has sent to the speaker with regards to the withdrawals of those reports. Secondly, with regards to the status update regarding the dates on the analog switch off and switch on, I think you know the deferring the date, the cost deferred of the date is a responsible thing to do in here because you know there's still also concerns that I'm sure as members of the committee, we have also in the past week or so been inundated with contacts from different stakeholders with regards to concerns about, you know, the population that might be left out. But I think, Minister, there's also an opportunity in this regard to accelerate the awareness with regards to the public's registration, because it is very clear that it didn't reach as broadly as it should have reached, and that it should be an inclusive process that tries to bring together everyone as much as possible, no matter how cumbersome that process is. And you're absolutely right that, you know, if there are individuals that have registered, they shouldn't be held back by an unverified number of, you know, individuals who haven't registered or who we presume haven't registered. But I think in light of the volume of concerns to the process and ensuring that you pull everyone together towards this migration, it is then incumbent and very important that we embark on a far more aggressive awareness campaign in making sure that one, the date, the new date now of the 30 June, or is it July, you indicated, is broadly known, so that we can accelerate that process, so that this major development does not become exclusionary and it doesn't become a case of, you know, leaving behind other people when there are measures that can be used to make sure that we pull them forward towards this new dispensation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malatsi. Honorable Podlani.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody, and good morning to the Minister. And indeed, thank you, Minister, for a very comprehensive report. I've got a few points, but let me start off from what I noticed from the Minister's address is that there was no policy that was developed for digital migration. I'm not sure if the minister is able to elaborate, considering that it really took us over 15 years to get to this point. Why was there a neglect in terms of policy formulation? And perhaps if we had that sort of policy, it would have guided the process better. We would not have taken this long, I beg your pardon. Minister, as Honorable Malatsi has said, there are concerned organizations which tells us that civil society is alive and well in South Africa, and it's a very important aspect of our democratic dispensation. One of the issues that the civil society is raising is the issue of the application on the WhatsApp not being responsive as you open up applications, if I understood you correctly, and also the application process not being zero rated. Those are the things that I would love for you to please speak to. And we have the post office as a very key stakeholder in the application process. And as the members of this committee, we are exposed to the challenges that the post office faces. I'm not sure what intervention can the minister make to make sure that while the applications do proceed in the face of the challenges of the post office, that the poor, the unemployed, the youth, the old are not excluded from the process of application. Because if you listen to all the messages that we are receiving as parliamentarians from civil society, their biggest issue was the issue of the timeline, which now the court has made a pronunciation on to the 30th of June. And that begs the question, Minister, to say, in your previous address to the portfolio, you had said that you were going to need an extra 6 months to cover those that were outside the application process. I know you made a point about it in as your last sentence. I missed that. So I beg your indulgence in helping me understand that the new date of the court, as much as we also welcome the date to say it will make sure that people are not excluded, what does it mean in terms of the people who had not applied that you were going to cover with the additional 6 months? I do appreciate that you made that point, but I did miss it. So thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Minister.
The Honorable Kubeka, you are recognized.
Thanks, Chairperson, and greetings to the officials, members who are present today, and also to you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, let me also thank the Minister by the briefing that she has given us today. It's a full detailed information that she has given us today. So I would like to say to the Minister, is it possible maybe, as she's asking, to say even the side of the portfolio committee maybe can try to assist on the side of those people who are not registered at this present moment, maybe also on their side to have a slot or to just to keep on advertising on those households that are not being registered at this present moment, just to push the number up. But really, I would like just to thank, to say indeed, on the side of the SABC, as also Honorable Malatsi is raising, to say it will be good also if we can invite to the portfolio committee the side of the SABC in order that we can get also their side. But on the side of the minister, it's very clear, as you have presented, to say your commitment as you were trying and pushing to manage to be on time. And also, you have already sensitized us with that a month of June to say you want just to cover, not to leave anyone outside the scope to those who have applied. I think it's key, and indeed, the court also have managed to push and to prove on the side of the ETV to say you were on the right track, Minister. I would like also to appreciate on that side. But let's try to have the side also of the SABC. But I think as the portfolio committee, as we can listen to your side, I don't see where you are having a snap actually on the issue as you were preparing yourself. But indeed, we want just to be sensitized the side of the SABC, especially on those reports that they have already tabled, and it's contradicting with their also statement on the side of the letter. I think we are taking into consideration. We will want you to hear, and indeed you have done a good job in order that you can just sensitize them to say, no, you are still awake, you are just listening and following their reports, and also on the side of the letter that they have written. And it's not an easy thing, but I do understand the issue of SABC on the side of leaking information. That thing is very bad. And they are keep on doing the SAPC. I don't know, because you have asked also the meeting just to sit with them down in order to engage one another. But they are preferring also, instead of sitting down, to go and leak the information, of which this is the bad picture. But we would like to know and understand, because at the end of the day, we would like to take a decision on those reports. If those reports are not the correct ones, we need to do justice. We can't just keep quiet and say they have just contradicting themselves. So it is going to be good, Chair, if we can have a meeting with the SABC in order that we can hear. It's not for the first time, actually, the SABC to do this. We would like to have a justice on those reports. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. I just check, Ajira, if there are other hands for members before I give to the minister.
Yes, Chairperson. May I say something?
Yes, is that Honorable Madisha?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tobel Amre.
Please proceed.
I want to agree with the other members. That insofar as the policy is concerned, that which they are raising has got to be looked into. I must say that one is quite happy with the court processes, and that indeed calls on us to sit down and do more. And secondly, on this thing of the SABC, I'm happy that the other members have raised this, because what one wanted to raise, it's actually even much more deeper. But if you say we shall discuss this in the next meeting, I will embrace that, because the information that some of us have is extreme. It's extreme. It shows lots and lots of corruption, lots and lots of things which are terrible to this country, and therefore a lot has got to be done. I therefore want to agree with the other members who say that let's put this so that we then can be able to look into it properly in the next meeting. But it is a horrendous kind of thing that is there. And SABC belongs to the people of South Africa. We've got to do something. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Matisha. As I said, if there's any other member who would want to speak that has not been able to identify, please indicate. I would have left Honorable Madisha easily because of the name of the gadget. I didn't know this other name, Mini, Honorable Madisha.
No, I agree with you advanced. I'm far much advanced than the chairperson. So that is why, you see. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Madisha. Yes, is that Honorable Mlala?
Yes, it's me, but I'm on transit, so I'm unable to open my camera. Am I allowed, Chair?
Yes, as I indicated, Honorable Mlala, you can then proceed.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Let me first thank the Minister for the presentation. And I think, just to be precise, Chair, What the ministers presented is not anything new to the committee. Maybe some of us who have been with SABC for some time, we know. Chair, I'm disturbed by the sound. Can I reserve my comment because I'm just next to the flight, so it's making a lot of noise.
Thank you, Honorable Mlala. Honorable members, I will now give to the minister to respond to whatever points you would want to respond to, and we try and get a summary that also captures our way forward as the committee on the matters raised. The Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the members for the question. I need to indicate I've done what is called a provisional withdrawal. So it means it's not a withdrawal, it's provisional. And that provisional withdrawal is done on the basis that the information they provided in their letter of the 7th of March contradicts the information in their quarter report. As required by law, I've given and I've quoted the section of the PFMA, section 50, subsection 1. I've given the SABC an opportunity to which information is accurate, whether the information that's in the quarterly report or the information that is in their letter of the 7th of March. So because they cannot have the two sets of information together. So when they've given me feedback and they requested a meeting, I must indicate it's them who requested a meeting, and I've accepted their meeting request. When they've clarified which information is correct, it will then lead to the full complete withdrawal or the reinstatement of the report. That's the two things. So there's no point of the portfolio committee to call the SABC on this matter before they determine which information is accurate to me as their accounting, as their executive authority. But in terms of the law, as a member of this parliament and also as a minister of cabinet, I'm required by law that when I become aware of any inconsistency, I must alert Parliament. And so that the act of alerting Parliament is the one that I've explained to yourself to say, I've alerted the Speaker, which in turn, because the Speaker will direct the letter to yourself, I'm now alerting you as the letters to the Speaker, as the letter to the Speaker is going to be directed to the portfolio. I'm alerting you that there is this inconsistency, but the SABC is still to determine which set of information is correct. That it solely depends on them, and I'll inform the Speaker and therefore the portfolio committee when they've determined to say which information is accurate. And I'm saying so because I suspect naughtiness on the part of some board members of the SABC of wanting to assist the ETV case. The SABC, you know, previously it was captured by another broadcaster, and I don't think the SABC is immune from being captured by another broadcaster. Most of what they wrote to the correspondents to me indicate the arguments that have been raised by this other broadcaster, whereas we had had this engagement and the SABC and I were fully aligned on the issues because they have raised concerns previously around broadcast digital migration. We clarified the concerns, they raised that in writing. I had a meeting with them, with their representatives of their board, and we wrote to them and said, this is the process we're doing to assure them of our support. And so that is the process, but I don't think they are immune from being used. And therefore what I'm simply doing is to say, if you are being used, you must account for you being used by other people. Some, they may be used aware that they're being used, but others, they may have fallen on the trap because change is difficult and anxiety is difficult. But I cannot sit by and know that they've given me different sets of information and not alert Parliament, because I will then be part to the misleading of Parliament, and I do not want to face the Ethics Committee knowingly of Parliament for misleading Parliament. So that's the point. So I'll urge members of the Portfolio Committee, before they summon the SABC, to await the SABC to clarify to me which set of information is correct. However, the members of the Portfolio Committee will have access to the letter of the Speaker, all the correspondences between myself and the SABC, so that you can have a complete picture of what has transpired in this from the 7th of March until the 28th of March. that set of correspondence is attached as annexures to the letter of the speaker. So you will be fully, you'll have full access to them, and these are part of the information that already leaked to the public in any case. And there will be an argument to say, Minister, you're saying the SABC has leaked, but you do not have evidence. The SABC wrote me a letter on the 7th of March, and I didn't respond to that letter until the 24th of March, and for reasons I stated earlier. That letter was never leaked to anybody. But immediately, I responded on the 24th of March. The letter that I sent to the SABC was in the public domain. Similarly, when I responded on the 27th of March, the letter that I sent was in the public domain. And those letters were sent directly from me to the chairperson, who had an obligation to distribute to other members of the board, because he could not keep the letter and say this was the minister said. All members of the board had to be given the letter. And there's a question of what have I done? There is a point that I may have to come to this portfolio committee. I'm just checking the legal basis of it. There is a point where the SABC board is declining to be vetted by the state security in line of the vetting that is done with others. So I've requested the department to ascertain that whether that vetting is a legal requirement for them in that board, because it will be then truant if it is a legal requirement for the board to be vetted, not to decline to be vetted. But vetted, as they are arguing that they were vetted by the portfolio committee or by parliament when they were appointed. Whether it's correct, we may have to strengthen, because the term of office of the board of the SABC is ending. We may have to strengthen our process of appointing the board and include compulsory vetting, so that we can determine whether the people that we appoint in the board of the SABC or any other board are able to keep the secrets that they are entrusted to. Because with the type and level of responsibility that they sit with, you should not be suffering leaks at that level of the board. So where I am, I'm still determining whether legally there is that obligation, and if that obligation exists legally, we'll make sure that we inform the SABC the legal prescripts for it to be taken. If they continue to decline, we'll then report them to the portfolio committee. And we'll have to find a way, and I'm happy that digital migration is finally taking place, because at least in the digital economy, the correspondences will come with digital signatures and will be traceable to say who took it out. So we'll be able to find out who took it out in the future. But today, I do not know whether we'll find out. But I will request, I'll write to the chairman of the SABC and request that they find out who was responsible for the leak on their part. I must also clarify, there are no tensions between me and the SABC board. We have worked very well together with the SABC board. That's why I've supported them actively. I've supported the SABC board to get, for the first time, a PFMA exemption from the National Treasury. Though I would have preferred a five-year exemption, they've granted the SABC a one-year exemption, but which is renewable. Because I believe that they must be given space to operate, and because if for them to compete commercially, they must also have the playing field level to be competitive to their competitors. I've also actively, and I continue to actively support the SABC board on their request for the license waiver, TV license fee waiver, and I remain resolute that they must be supported, because it's in the interest of the SABC that that waiver is done for their financial position to improve. Also, I've had submissions from the SABC that includes funding around public mandate, and I actively support them. So it's not a board that I can say we have tensions that we cannot coexist. We have differences. Unfortunately, I guess the stakes were too high in this time, because I've always insisted in my correspondence with them, which I'm sure the speaker will give to yourself, that the national interest must supersede any other thing. And if there are challenges with the SABC, we could find a way of supporting the SABC that they should not collapse, like we continue to do so today, even with their bailouts, when we do the digital migration. But we believe that there are opportunities for the SABC, which the board must focus on instead of focusing on past technology. They must focus on future technology to make sure that they can remodel the organization to be an organization that is competitive in the future, because if they resist, they will be left behind. And these are the issues that were raised by all members, but they were initiated by Honorable Basopu, but all other members raised the same issues. I thought I've given that that clarity, and I've also clarified the parliamentary responsibility that when the SABC has determined which set of information, I'll then come to parliament to say you may have to redo the quota reports, or that they have withdrawn the other statement, and we'll have to deal with what are the consequences of playing gimmicks when the national interests are at stake, and we'll deal with it if they choose the other route. We'll come to this portfolio committee to parliament and this portfolio committee to say this is what we think in terms of law has been violated, or this is what we think in terms of law must be done, and you can apply your mind yourself. You can then at that point activate your legal advice to say what are the options that the portfolio committee and parliament, who are the appointing authority of the SABC board, to do. On the deferment of the date to June, and the concerns of that the population must be left behind and extending, we've argued, and the court has contended, that the right to be supported is matched by the responsibility to register. And that's why I've called for the Free to Air TV coalition to join us in creating this awareness, to say, don't just claim to speak for the poor. Go and get the poor to register, because it's only when they've registered that they'll access it. And it's only when we have indicated government has not put a ceiling to say whether we're going to support 2.5 million households or the alleged 5 million households, which we believe are not there. In terms of statistics, we can confirm that they qualify for support. But like the court has said, some of those households may not even own an analog TV. Some of those households may be owning a different TV. So it's not true, because we don't have those facts to say how many of those households own analog TV. But we appreciate the request to create a larger awareness. But just to update on that, we have now partnered, because the SABC was appointed by the Strategic Committee to then do the awareness, and we have paid the SABC 30 million for that awareness campaign, and we continue to pay SABC for the outside broadcast that we utilized when we were on awareness ourselves as a department on this BDM. But we have, and the SABC radio stations have done well on that. The SABC TV also, for those who watch TVs on analog, there's a message that continues to sweep to say analog switch off date is going to happen, go and register. What we are going to engage with them is that now that there is a date that is set by court, which they, of the 30th of June 2022, the message must be specific to say, go and your TV will be switched off by the 30th of June if you do not register for if you don't register to get the support. And also to clarify, there'll be those who register late, they'll also have to accept that they will be assisted late. But we've also partnered with community radio stations in all provinces. They've come to the party bigger, they've been interviewing us, they've been interviewing citizens, they've continued at the back or at the expenses of their own doing, and with the challenges of the support or the limitation of support that has been given, they've been continuing to get the message across. We have also now decided at the project steering committee level that we are going to also pay the community media, community radio in particular, to continue to communicate the message to their communities in their language, so that we can then get this message across. We have also partnered with ward councillors and the municipalities, the local municipalities and district municipalities across the country, to continue to communicate the message. But also, because ward councillors and their ward committees are aware of indigence in their households, we have also started to give them forms to distribute to the indigent households, and to also become the source of collection of those forms, where our district coordinators and the support officials can also collect from them. We are now extending that partnership to the traditional leadership in the areas, to start to say, in an area where there are traditional leadership, invite us, not only the minister, but the district coordinators and the officials, to the imbizos or community meetings that are convened by traditional leaders. It has worked well for us in some areas of KZN, the way we've started, and that's where we are. We are going to ramp it up that way. And we appreciate the offer by Honorable Kubeka that how can the portfolio committee assist? All members of parliament have constituency offices. We would like to use the constituency offices as the point wherein the application forms can be accessed, because sometimes the post offices are far, and also for the people, citizens, to drop back the application forms for assistance, and we can then collect them from there. We'll make the necessary arrangements with the whips of the various political parties and the chief whip of the majority party on this matter. And we are committed to that nobody is left behind. And there was an issue that was raised by Honorable Botlani to say no policy has been developed. No, it's not accurate, Honorable Botlani. You didn't hear me correctly. There is a policy, the Broadcast Digital Migration Policy, that has been adopted since 2008. It was amended in 2011. It was again amended in 2012. And yeah, the policy is in place. And that policy prescribes what must be done to reach the end of a dual elimination. That policy does not say government must subsidize households to access the set-top boxes. It is a cabinet decision, because the ANC is a current government for these people. It is a cabinet decision that says the governing party took at a cabinet level that poor households will be assisted to access the set-top boxes. And that assistance is the one that we further clarified that to access that assistance, you must then apply or register for that assistance at the nearest post office. And I've just explained what other places we're going to get people to get the forms, the support forms to apply for. So that I hope I've clarified that the policy is in place, and it's a cabinet decision. The court has come. We have also made to say that the non-governmental movement is claiming that WhatsApp, where people apply, is not responsive. There's no WhatsApp that people apply on. People send a message to WhatsApp on WhatsApp to say my device is not working, to say where is the nearest post office. The people apply, if they're applying online, on a www.stbregistration.gov.za. And that site is zero rated. And it's also available not only on smartphones, but on feature phones, the ones that are 100 rand. That you apply. So we must clarify to the members of the public that you don't apply on WhatsApp. There is a line that you apply on, including the feature phone that it can use to apply on. We've given different configurations of the feature phones, what they use to apply, and that site is zero rated, and we've communicated that. And Honorable Botlani has asked to say, we are determined that those who apply after the 31st of October will connect them between 3 to 6 months after the analog switch off date. What the court has now determined is that those who have applied by the 31st of October 2021 must be connected by 30 June 2022, and that date is the date of the dual elimination period ending and the switch off of analog and the full switch on of digital broadcasting. Two, the court has further determined that the 30th of September is the date for those who have applied by between the 31st of October and the 10th of March 2022 to be connected. And that's what we said, we are committing to those things. We are going to, as we have indicated to court, we are going to determine the number that will apply after those dates, and we've committed that those who still apply will make sure that nobody is left behind. We'll determine the final date. Remember, now the date of ASO has been postponed or deferred to the 30th of June. So if you count that, there will be another 3 months from 30th of June, which will take you 30th of September, and there'll be another 3 months after September, which will take you to 30th of December. We'll then determine based on the volumes that we have to say, will that situation be enough? But what we commit to is that we have also started activating procurement for additional capacity that will require should the numbers go up, what the claims of the Safe Free-to-Air TV coalition made to say millions will be affected, and those millions are the poor who qualify for government support. It turns out to be true. We've started to prepare ourselves for additional capacity so that we are responsive, and we'll do all to the best of our ability to make sure that we connect people even after the analog switch off. But we must accept that the process cannot be perpetual. At some point, we will have to determine a cutoff date for those who apply. We'll observe what are the responses in terms of the application, and then determine what are the cutoff dates for the application to be received, and then so that the project can come to a close. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. May I check if there are follow-ups, members, before we summarize and move from this item? Ajira, any hand?
Just to check, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Madisha, can proceed.
Can therefore, if you permit me, allow one to draw the conclusion that this has not come to an end as yet. We're still going to look into this thing. I think the minister was very clear. I mean, I'm talking about what the board has and continues to do, which, like I said when I started, one had wanted to raise a number of things, which in one's understanding are quite wrong insofar as the board is concerned. So is the minister then saying that we are still going to have a chance to discuss this thing? I will stop there, because if that is not the case, one will raise other things insofar as that is concerned. But are we for now saying that until such time we shall have received all the information as she has raised, we still shall come back as the committee to look into that, even before the end of June, when court processes will be going on. And I'm just wanting to be clear on that, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Madisha. Honorable members, I see that the Honorable Machozi sent this up. Honorable Machozi.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a follow-up question, maybe on the issue of set of boxes that I hear that, unless I didn't hear clearly, but the minister will then explain further, that now we are no longer looking at the 30th of March, but we are maybe looking at end of June. So the messages that we've been receiving of people carrying off the signal and also struggling to listen to the news and so forth, how are they going to then make sure that maybe those people, they don't get the same problem? Because which means continuously we are going to get these concerns and messages that we keep on getting on our phones, so that then we know that if it's end of June, then there will be other measures that they will put in place to make sure that people do not struggle at home.
Any other member that I may have left out? I think it's after the response, if the minister and the team would want to respond, thereafter we just summarize. Any other member would want to make a follow-up? Okay, no. I take it that, Honorable Minister, do you really want to come in at this point?
Thank you. I need to clarify the point raised by Honorable Madisha to say, on my part, when the SABC has determined which set of information is accurate, I'll equally inform Parliament, and Parliament will then, I'm sure, delegate to the Portfolio Committee. The Portfolio Committee will then decide what to do with that information. But we will, when we do that, we'll then explain further what are the optionalities. The Portfolio Committee, I think I need to indicate this, Honorable Maneli and Honorable Madisha and other members, is that if there are issues the Portfolio Committee wants to discuss that relates to the SABC, that members have a substantive matters to raise, it will be prudent for members not to wait and say we want to whatever, but let's have an engagement to say there are these issues that we want to raise regarding the SABC or any other entity. Let's see if we cannot clarify it. If we can't clarify it or it warrants a discussion with the Portfolio Committee or us appearing, we are willing to appear. So that Honorable Madisha should not be worried about whether when, if I reinstate the reports, the conversation around the SABC and other allegations that he says he's aware of is kept swept under the carpet. There's no such an intention. So you should not be relying on the clarity that I'm seeking from the SABC, that of which information is accurate, to discuss other matters. You can raise the other matters that are in your purview, and then we can respond. Honorable Malazi have just done so last, I think it's last week, and we are going to respond because he has asked pertinent questions and for us to clarify, and we have activated that. He's written a letter, we'll respond. If Honorable Malazi feels that in terms of the response that would have provided, the matter warrants to be discussed at the portfolio committee level, we will be willing to subject ourselves to the portfolio committee level. In terms of Honorable Majosi, we need to confirm the analog switch off date has now been deferred to 30 June 2022. I must also clarify, the messages that you've been getting are not messages from citizens. They are sponsored messages from the Save Free to Air television that they were lobbying you. They were doing what you call public pressure for the members of the portfolio committee to sway the minister to change the date, because they realized that the case they had in court was weak, and therefore they wanted to do extra judicial and extra parliamentary processes to put pressure on the minister. So that those messages are not from members of the public. Those who have been connected and will remain committed to the fact that those who have been connected have no issues of signal. Those who reside in provinces that have already been switched off, the court has directed that as we connect these people who applied for the 31st of October 2021 by 30 June 2022, we must prioritize those outstanding in the provinces of Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Free State, and Northern Cape. And that's what we're going to do exactly. And as we progress, and when we make towards the 30th of June deadline, we will come to the portfolio committee and update the portfolio committee as much as we'll do that to the cabinet of the country in terms of our progress. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, I think as we close on this item, firstly, we should really appreciate that the minister was able to come before the committee, as this would have not been in the program of the committee, but purely a follow-up, firstly informed by questions were asked, but secondly, also because as Parliament, we have also responsibility of ensuring that there's public participation. And when civil society groupings also write to Parliament, of course, different groupings have also been doing that, writing either to the chair or to members directly. We have an obligation to also listen to what they are raising so that it gets clarified. And we use these sessions to also ensure that South Africans in general are clarified on where we are and what is it that it's being done to address their concerns. I think that's for me an important aspect in terms of our role, if we are to ensure in the true sense government of the people by the people. But I think what is important is that on the two matters, firstly the issue about quarterly reports that we've been briefed about as it relates to the SABC, I think we should, honorable members, agree that we note that it's a provisional withdrawal. And of course, we need also to get a formal referral from the speaker for the consideration of the committee. So that we accept. And that referral will then make us to have a discussion based on the referral. However, Minister, and honorable members, it should also be in our interest to look at what is happening in the public space and its implications to the work that we do, as Honorable Dr. Basobud have raised, that some of these things would question our roles as different stakeholders, Parliament playing its oversight role, processing these reports. The department itself has got an entity oversight team that looks and scrutinizes these reports before they are put before us, as well as the boards. In this case in particular, the independence of the SABC has been stressed many times, and that we do not seek to take the work of the board. So the board also plays an important role in the governance of the entity as the SABC, and they scrutinize these reports before they make submissions to the entity oversight. And therefore, anything that gets raised in the public in that way, and it gets to be in the formal system of Parliament by notifying the Speaker, it surely also attracts our interest as the committee. And I think Minister would be able to give the opportunity for the meetings that you've spoken about, but it does not take away the fact that the committee needs to also engage the SABC, just to also get this balance that Honorable Malachi and other members would have referred to. I think Honorable Kubeka seconded that point, that we should also hear the other side of the story. I think very important for national justice in that way, so that we do not get to have the debate in the public, but that people can raise it properly with the committee, especially because the committee plays a role in the appointment of the board of the SABC, and in no time would be following the parliamentary process to advertise for a new board of the SABC as the term comes to an end this year. And therefore, our interactions must also help us to have lessons in terms of people and the caliber of leadership we bring in the entities. So I think it's important because in the previous term, there was work done, and as part of the legacy report, would have received what the inquiry picked up in the SABC. And of course, the appointment that happened at the time would have been about turning the situation around, right? Now, at this point, once you talk about the turnaround strategy that the SABC has put in, and we continue to say we are turning the corner, anything that creates doubt in that has got serious implications going forward, because the intervention we've made in the SABC, if it turns around, surely it becomes then an experience to use even in the other entities, where we are to look at whether there's a recapitalization of some sort or bailout, if you want to call it that way, that indeed we give the assurance to South Africans that we do not throw money to problems, but we throw money to solutions. And that's why we fund the turnaround strategies. So if then there's misstatement of facts and so on, it can create its own problems. But as I say, we do appreciate that you are calling it provisional. But in determining our program as the committee, indeed, we may want to have the SABC coming before the committee, as well as the entity oversight of the department, which is in this case led by yourself, to come before the committee. But because we process reports that come before us, before we approve them, we also know that Centec also gave a sense of what the cost saving would be once the dual remuneration is switched off, in particular to the SABC. And these were not questioned at the time in the presence of the SABC. Of course, the SABC raised certain things. around the cost of transmission from the side of Stentec, which was a matter being discussed. So I think we still need to have that. But also give assurance to South Africans that if the SABC says, which is what is leaked in the public, that they would not be able to take responsibility for the post-market period, which is an important aspect of maintenance, of addressing queries from society post the putting up of set-off boxes and so on. I think it's important that we have that discussion because the real people we must give assurance to in the May is South Africans who are delivering this service to, that they will still be able to access the service at all material times so that they do not have negativity around change, but they must see change as transforming their lives for the better. So I'm just saying, we may have to still engage with you once we have set up our program for the next term. And we hope by that time, even the reports we would receive will show that progress has been made and those matters have been clarified, and that we can assure South Africans that the money appropriated to SABC indeed will turn around that institution and the facts are there to show. So that's on the SABC side. But I think on the part about the switch off, we should also agree as members that we should indeed encourage people to register, because in any way, the court decision has not come to a conclusion that there should not be an analog switch off and that we move to digital. It has only shifted the dates, but the program has to continue in that way. So it's just to make sure that there are no people that are left behind. And I think as that briefing continues and urging people to register, of course, PCO being used and all other avenues, including community radio stations being used, and our national broadcaster still playing the role, as well as mobilizing the same civil society groupings that they partner with the government to ensure that South Africans who are eligible to register and receive support, that they get the support, and that those that are in the unsubsidized market, we could also ramp up the campaign of ensuring that they do know what to get, especially with the decision also from trade industry and competition around products that get into the country, which must comply to what the country's program is about, so that we do not become a dumping site for what is not working out in the world there. That we can also ramp up that, because a number of people may not be aware that just based on what they have already, it would be easy for them to migrate, or they've already migrated in any way. So I'm just saying we need to intensify that with an understanding that the court has not really said there is no BDM or the policy is invalid or anything, but it's just about ensuring that there's fairness and those that must access the service are able to access the service. So that's, I think, for me, the summary of that. And I take it that, Honorable Minister, the point you are making is that even the dates, as you look at them, once you open up for those that may have not registered because of the confusion that may have been there, or access to either post office, depending on the area, given the challenges that may have also been there in the post office, which this committee is seized with, that once those have been registered fully, you'd be able to make a determination. And I also take it that as you go back, you will also be working out that now that the court has made this determination, if you are reopening for those that may have not been in the dates that are outlined, assessment, what would be the cutoff date? Because it also really can't be open-ended. Otherwise, there will be no applications, but an expectation will be that there would be applications, and you can stay in court, I think, for quite some time. So I think the level of proactiveness that is needed is that that date gets to be communicated widely so that you can then measure on whether the 30th of September itself would mean that everybody else over and above the numbers, 260,000 that are between 31st October and the 10th of March, that over and above that, this is the number we have, and whether we'll be able to get it by the 30th of September. At least we can be proactive in that once there is a proper cutoff date for those that may have not applied, given whatever challenges they may have faced. So that our message to society will then be consistent, and that if anything else happens after that time, at least it would be known that it would have been those that believed they do not qualify to apply, hence they have not applied, and therefore you'd be able to focus on those that have applied, which is, I think, in line with the court decision in that score. So that's how, honorable members, want to summarize the discussions we've had on this point and the way forward thereof. And I take it that, honorable minister, that is quite clear. Oh, I thought you wanted to speak because I saw you like, yes. Okay, so you're clear. Honorable members, I take it that we are clear, and we hope that society would be mobilized in ensuring that those who qualify for assistance are assisted, but those that do not qualify are directed exactly where assistance could be found for them to access what is usable in order to migrate. Thank you, honorable members, and thank you to the minister. As I said, honorable minister, it will really be your choice to stay. Otherwise, we would still release you to determine the cutoff date for the new applications, and that could be announced earlier. We'll release you to go and meet with the SAPC, clarify so that there's no withdrawal that we can move forward. I thank you. You can.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, and all the best to the Portfolio Committee.
Honorable members, we'll then get to the next item. I just wanted to check, Ajira, if we are going straight to this, or is it the minutes time and the report?
Chairperson, you indicated we'll adopt the report and then the minutes, and then we'll go to the trading. Thank you, Chair.
Can we have the report slided? Then we do as usually do. That's the report for GCIS. That's the report we're considering. Like we said, we needed to have these other matters sorted before we adopt the revised APP report that I would have communicated in the chat group of the Portfolio Committee. So would only consider the GCIS report, which should have been looked at previously, but because of the corrections that needed to be effected, it had to then stay back and come back for adoption today. So that's the report we're dealing with, honorable members. We'll go page by page like we do. We are now on observations. Can go to recommendations. Just on A there, on the entity, the understanding of the 14 days is that it does not preclude the portfolio committee as per the discussions on the day, that we may want to get the board to of the MTD to come before the committee in the next term. It's one of those who would have to prioritize, because if these matters are left unattended, they do affect the governance of the entity, which has been trying to turn its corner after some years of problems. So I just wanted to just stress that point so that it's understood when you get the draft program. Otherwise, it's not about how it's captured in the report. Okay, if there are no points to be raised there, may I then for also formality, honorable members, to just get them over and second for the report. Honorable Bodlani.
Well, okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, maybe just to cross the T's and dot the I's. The report makes an abbreviation of JCPC, PS, and ECID. I think it's the very first page, just as a way of writing to just provide the definitions of those abbreviations. And also on page 3, the denomination of the rent value is missing. It does not say rent. I think there's an R missing to denote, yes, on point three. And I think subsequent, again, where the 370 is again mentioned. So it's just a matter of crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But the report is in order. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Bodlani. May I get another member? I think those are clear. Correction.
Whilst you are waiting for another member, Chair, I can just assure the Honorable Member that by the time this report is published on the ATC later today, those abbreviations would have been written in full. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ngom. I get the second.
Chairperson, it's Honorable Kubega. Yeah, I second the... I second.
Yes.
As the Honorable Member have moved.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Kubega. That report is seconded with those corrections to be made before it's sent for ATC. We are now in the minutes of Tuesday, the 22nd March, 2022. I check if there's any member wanted to make a correction in case I didn't hear you before we move for adoption.
Chairperson?
Is that the Honorable Dr. Basso?
I move the adoption of the minutes, but having a right to say the corrections should be done even before the reports are presented to us. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Honorable Dr. Basso. May I get a second?
Chair, it's Honorable Kubega again. I second the adoption of the minutes.
Minutes adopted. Any objection in us adopting the minutes? I didn't ask. But I take it that there are no objections, and therefore we agree. I then check, Ajura, if there's any other item except the one on the vets, which is in our session.
No further item, Chair, except the vets session.
Okay. I'm not sure if they're already connected, if you can check on that, and that we can proceed as such.
We already connected, Chair.
No. Yes, Chairperson, the delegation is connected. We have Ms. Ajam, who just spoke now. We have Ms. Trudy Hudsonberg. And thank you very much.
Okay, I would, without waste of time, once again, welcome. The Vetsling Center is represented by Mr. Jam and the team, and I'm sure they do proper introductions as you take stage. Honorable members, like we said previously, when we're reminding yourselves of the session, that our work with the Vetsling Center has been that of empowering capabilities of members as they handle different matters. We know that this would not be dealing with every aspect that comes before this committee, but everything else thus far with what we have gone through with the Link Center, we can only say the members would have been empowered to engage even better on matters that come before the committee. The good thing is that we do not get to meet the vet slim setup because we have to make a decision. But it's just an empowerment in terms of information, such that at the time we have to make decisions, we can also look from an academic grounding in a way. So that's how we take it. And the participation of members it's something we really want to encourage all the time. The 1 hour is worth it that we usually go through. And we do this because we also know this competes with many other programs members are engaged in. So please feel welcome, and that the stage is now yours in terms of the presentation you'd want to make to members. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Tse and Honourable Members. I'm Professor Tanya Jam from the School of Public Leadership at Stellenbosch University, and we are collaborating with Dr. Lucy Abrams from the Link Centre in Wits. We'll tender her apologies because unfortunately she is in Rwanda at the moment. I will be supported by the rest of my team, Professor Ayad Al-Ani from the Einstein Center in Berlin. He will introduce himself when it is his turn to speak. And then also Dr. Trudy Hartzenberg